Welcome everyone to 2CC. Let's start with introductions, roll call. I'll just kind of go down through the list and see who we've got here. Do we have anyone from City of Bloomingdale? City of Richmond Hill?
Scott Allison's here.
Thank you. I'm Pamela Bernard. I'm here for Chatham County. Bike Walk Savannah.
Could I not hear yet?
No. Okay. City of Pooler.
Is Leon representing Pooler today or Garden City?
I'm representing Pooler today. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you, Leon. Okay. I have GDOT Planning up next. Who we've got on the phone?
This is Katie Proctor. I'm the District Planning Program Liaison.
Good afternoon, Katie. How you doing?
I don't think anybody got planning.
Anybody from Atlanta yet?
Not yet.
Okay, hopefully they'll come in soon. Let's move on. Savannah Airport Commission. Mark, I think you said you were here, right?
Yes, I am, Pam.
Thank you. Port Wentworth. Okay. Garden City. Okay. The Coastal Regional Commission. Anybody? No. How about Tybee Island? Mm-hmm. Cat.
Not yet. Chatham Area Transit. Okay,
Bren. No. Okay. How about Georgia Ports Authority? Probably not. MPO staff or MPC? Hi, Mark.
I think Pam will represent Melanie, probably.
I'm sorry?
Pam Everett will be voting in,
For who?
For Melanie Wilson.
Oh, okay. For the MPC. Okay.
Yes. I'm on the line.
Thanks for joining us. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. And who else do we have for staff?
Wycota Wong here.
Alicia Hunter.
Asia Herndon.
Okay, thank you. City of Savannah.
I saw Michelle. Michelle's name is in.
I'm here, Pam. Sorry. I always.
It's okay.
If you call on me, I have moved my cursor away from the mute button.
I like to get you by surprise. All right. How about Effingham County?
Yeah, Teresa's here.
Okay. Hi, Teresa. Thank you. Thunderbolt? Vernonburg. Okay. Who have I left out? FHWA. Darn it, I was going to start with you this time.
Mm-hmm. Anne-Marie Day here. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's see. I think that's everybody I've got on my list. Is there any, did I miss anybody?
I saw Ned Green from GDOT Planning come in.
Oh, okay. He's here. Okay. GDOT Planning. Ned, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Ned Green, GDOT Planning.
Hi. Got anybody else from GDOT Planning? Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's go to the agenda. Has everyone had a chance to review the agenda? Does anyone have any changes that they'd like to make at this time? Okay. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda as is?
So moved. This is Mark.
Thank you, Mark. I'll second that. And the way let's do this is I'm just going to ask, I'm going to assume that everybody's a yes unless I get a no vote for these motions, okay? So are there any no votes? All right, then the agenda is approved. Okay, let's move on to the action items. The first one is the approval of the previous meeting minutes. That's from February 18th from the TCC. Hopefully everybody's had a chance to review those if they wanted to and submit any comments or changes, revisions. Does anyone have any comments or concerns at this time? All right. In that case, I will request a motion to approve the meeting minutes from February 18th.
So moved. This is Mark.
Thank you, Mark. Do I have a second?
I'll second, Pam. It's Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle. All right. I'm going to assume we're all in favor of that unless there's any no votes. Are there any no votes? All right. Motion passes and the meetings are approved. Action two, the amendment to the fiscal year 2021 UPWP. Mark?
Yes, you'll recall that in, I believe, June of last year, we added the State Route 307 corridor study as an illustrative unfunded project or planning study to the 2021 UPWP. Early this year, we executed the funding contract with GDOT, so this is simply an amendment to move the project to the funded portion of the current year UPWP. The amount is $250,000 matched. And that's all I have. It's simply we're asking for endorsement to the CORMPO board to reflect that the study is now funded.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you, Mark. That was short and sweet. Does anyone have any questions about that? Okay. We just need to have a motion to approve the amendment then to the fiscal year 21 UPW.
So moved, it's Leon.
Thank you, Leon. I will second that. Is there any no votes to that? Okay, motion passes. And the amendments are approved. Okay, Mark, are you gonna go over the draft fiscal year 22 Unified Planning Work Program?
Yes, Julie, can you share my screen? I don't. Bear with me, folks. It's not letting me select. Is everyone able to see the slide?
Yes.
Okay. I see we've come in at the bottom of the presentation, so I'll zoom right back to the top. Today we're here to discuss and consider endorsing the draft fiscal year 2022 Unified Planning Work Program. It is the proposed CORMPO staff work program for the fiscal year 2021, which begins, for fiscal year 2022, sorry, there's a mistake in the slide, the year that begins July 1st, 2021. It details the staff budget and work program for the coming fiscal year and carrying out the 3C continuing cooperative and comprehensive transportation planning process. It covers funding, staff work tasks, and budget. We have two primary federal planning grants that we operate under. The first is Federal Highway Administration PL grant. The second is the FTA Section 5303 grant. Both grants require 20% local match. They are allocated to the MPO for planning by formula. Formula is based primarily on population, but there are other factors that reflect different characteristics of the MPOs that determine how the state allocates that money to us. We are responsible for paying almost all of the local match, except in the case of the 5303 grant. GDOT provides half of that local match in the amount of 10%. These are funds that can only be used for planning. And at the end of the fiscal year, if we have not spent the funds, they are forfeited. We do not roll them from one year to the next. They go back to GDOT. The total funding this coming year, would be $628,420.04. That includes $450,178 in matched PL funds and $178,241 in matched Section 5303 funds. I'll say a word about the discretionary PL funds because we have been spending those for several years now. I mentioned unspent funds at the end of the year go back to Georgia DOT. They accumulate them at the state level. And those funds are made available twice yearly to MPOs for special studies. There's currently a balance of about $4 million statewide. This is available for MPOs except Atlanta. Atlanta operates under different rules than we do. The available balance is about $1 million for special studies because they try to reserve about $3 million for Metropolitan Transportation Plan updates. There is a competitive selection process that takes place in the spring and fall. The plans and studies must be in the MPO's UPWP. The prioritization criteria favor required MPO planning products, but having said that, the awards include a wide range of non-required plans and studies, which ultimately do contribute to the required planning products, such as the MTP. Applications are screened by Georgia DOT and Federal Highway Administration staff, and awards are approved by the PL Funds Review Committee, which includes a member of every non-Atlanta MPO in the state. It does require 20% local match, which is normally provided by the project sponsor. In addition, there is a discretionary pot of Section 5303 funds normally. Every year, it's a much smaller amount of money that is essentially a remainder of the available federal 5303 funds after the formula distribution to the MPOs. Probably talking about an amount of money that's in the order of magnitude of, you know, hundreds of thousands rather than millions. It's available to plans and studies that are in the MPO UPWPs. Applications are a little more restrictive. They must be submitted by MPOs in December. So the deadline for this draft fiscal year 2022 UPWP was December of last year. So if you wanted to apply and you didn't let us know and no one did, sorry. We'll try to catch you next year. Requires 20% local match, again, provided by the project sponsor. And I say that because we did previously pull down some discretionary planning funds for software and data purchase for CAT. We have a standing request now for next fiscal year, which will be fiscal year 2023. So we'll be seeing that in about 6 months. A word about discretionary PL and 5303 awards. We've had quite a few. In fiscal year 2018, we got awards for two interchange studies, the I-16 Little Neck Road interchange and also the I-95 Airways Avenue interchange. In fiscal year 2020, as I mentioned, we got a discretionary 5303 award of $27,000 to help CAT purchase software and data. In fiscal year 2021, which is the current fiscal year, we received two discretionary awards, one for the State Route 21 Access Management Study being sponsored by Garden City, the other for the State Route 307 Corridor Study sponsored by Chatham County. The fiscal year 2022 UPWP development process is in its final stages, I would say. We began way back in October of 2020 with a call for plans and studies. That's where we go out and solicit what our members would like to see in the UPWP. A lot of this revolves around the special studies, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. In fiscal year October 2020, we did review the fiscal year 2022 transit planning tasks with the core MPO board and advisory committees. So also in December of 2020, we did complete the FTA Section 5303 grant application in coordination with GDOT. The MPO staff then from December 2020 to January 2021 developed the initial draft UPWP. That draft was submitted to Federal Highway Administration and Georgia DOT for review and comments on January 8th, 2021. The draft UPWP was also initially placed on the February core MPO agendas. But we did, before those meetings took place, we did receive substantial comments from Federal Highway Administration on February 12th. For that reason, it was decided to continue the UPWP to the April agendas to give us time to respond to the comments that we received. In addition, we have received additional comments through a conference call with Federal Highway Administration also on April 9th. So that the draft fiscal year 2022 UPWP that is attached to your agenda today does reflect some updates that have been going on in recent weeks. So the UPWP, as I said, has currently been under redevelopment. We'll be going to the MPO board next week. And the most recent, there have been several updated drafts posted. The most recent believe was yesterday, although we've been posting updates during the month of April. The text where it turns to gray is the future stuff, the crystal ball stuff. We can't predict the future, but we are anticipating the core MPO's approval of the fiscal year 2022 UPWP on April 28th. Then the next step would be to seek approval from Federal Highway Administration. We would like to hopefully have that prior to June 30th of 2021 so that we can execute our fiscal year 2022 funding contracts for both PL and 5303 funds and move forward. A word about the priorities for 2022 now that we've gone through the money stuff. Several major initiatives kicking off. The 2050 MTP update will be kicking off in 2022. You'll recall a little over a year and a half ago, we adopted Mobility 2045. The MTP must be updated every 5 years. So as we go into fiscal year 2022, we'll have three more years left on that five-year calendar. So we're gonna kick off the MTP update. We will also be working on an update of the congestion management process, an update of the MPO freight plan, the State Route 21 access management and State Route 307 corridor studies, which have just recently been kicked off, the federal certification review recommendations. If you may recall that at our meetings back in February, Anne-Marie gave a pretty thorough presentation on the findings of the federal certification review, but as of March 31st, we actually have the written final report, which is available attached to your agenda items today. It's also available on the MPC website, and we have included tasks in the work program to respond to the cert review recommendations. Including the freight plan update. That was a major one. The 2020 census urban area delineation will be taking place late in fiscal year 2022 towards the summer. We don't know the exact date, but when the census urban areas are announced, that will have a major impact on the MPO in terms of our population, which affects our funding distributions. It will also affect our planning area. We may have to change the planning boundary of the MPO. So there'll be a lot of moving pieces a year from now, including ongoing studies and potential MPO boundary shifts. All of that is anticipated in this work program. The work program is organized into six major tasks: administration, public involvement, data collection, analysis and forecasting, systems planning and operations, transit planning, and special studies, both funded and unfunded. The unfunded special studies are all of the studies that we've received as part of our calls for plans and studies, but which we have not secured funding for as well. We have put two studies in there, one a sea level rise study and the other potential data purchase item if we in the process of updating our congestion management process determine that we need to purchase data, then we could move forward with trying to fund that data purchase through this. We would be trying to coordinate that as efficiently as possible with all the other studies going on. We'll have a freight plan update going on, so we're giving quite a bit of thought to how we can experience economies for all these different studies that are going on and the data that may be needed. And here's the budget summary. The, as I mentioned before, $628,000 is the total formula budget. We are also showing the discretionary budget for the two special studies, the 307 and the 21 access management. Although that funding is actually fiscal year 2021 funding, we're showing it in fiscal year 2022, just for the sake of transparency. And the bulk of those studies will be carried out during fiscal 2022. With that, I'll be happy to accept any comments or take any questions. We will be trying to finalize our responses to all comments received in the next few days prior to the core MPO board meeting. And we welcome your input. Please
thank you, Mark.
Okay.
No, you're there. Okay, does anyone have any questions or comments for Mark? Okay. Thank you. Great job, Mark.
Thank you.
In that case, at this time,
we would be requesting an endorsement to the core MPO board.
Endorsement of the proposed draft fiscal year 2022 UPWP for approval by the board. Do I have a motion?
I'll do it. I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Thank you. All right. We're assuming all are in favor, unless I hear any no votes. Are there any no votes? Okay, motion passes, and the draft 2022 UPWP is endorsed for approval by the board. All right, moving on to action item four, which is the 2045 MTP vision amendments. Ikota, please. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. We are proceeding with the 2045 Metropolitan Transportation Plan Vision Plan amendments at the direction of the Core MPO Board back in February, because City of Puller requested to add two projects to the 2045 MTP Vision Plan, and then it was the expectation that the future T-SPLOST will be coming this fall. And so those two projects, Pine Barren Road Improvements and South Roger Street Improvement. And then the board agreed with the staff proposal that we need to contact all the jurisdictions and to collect the comprehensive list of the projects to be presented in April all at once, so we don't have to do amendments one by one and at each meeting. So Leon actually was very helpful in giving us the project list, because he has been compiling the project list. So this is the compiled TSBLOSTER project list. And of this project, you can see all the jurisdictions have resurfacing projects, and they also have like bike, pedestrian, and trail projects, and some operational improvements like signal upgrades or something. So I just want to let you know that this amendment is not going to address the resurfacing or the sidewalks for operational improvements. For those projects, please coordinate with the MPO staff to get the non-motorized projects into the non-motorized transportation plan if you're pursuing federal dollars in the future. And the operational improvements the same way. So today we're just going to focus on those projects that are located on the highways, and then the project must be located on the functionally classified roadways. So I'm focusing on these roadways highlighted in blue, even if actually we need some additional information from the jurisdictions as well. So as you can see, City of Bloomingdale, no eligible projects. The Garden City, the eligible projects are Telfair Road improvements and Old Louisville Road improvements. And then for the City of Pooler, the eligible projects are Quaker Road widening, South Roger Street improvements, and Pine Barren Road improvements. And then this is a misspell. It should be Old Louisville Road. North Roger Street is local street, so it wouldn't be considered. So this was a mistake in my staff report. So I need to demote that project. Another project that we need information is from Pooler Parkway widening. I would like to get some information from City of Pooler, because we do have a project in the vision plan already. That's a Pooler Parkway widening from I-95 to south of Godley Station. So want to make sure this project is not a repeat of that one. So we just need the project limit for this project. So Leon, if you can get some information to me after meeting, that would be great.
I will. I have some comments about this whole deal whenever you get through, Wakata.
Okay, yeah. And then Port Wentworth, we have a Gulf Stream widening, the PE phase. So if these projects want to pursue federal dollars in the future, we can amend them into the vision plan. And from City of Savannah, I only highlighted actually three projects, but I found out the Gulf Stream Road widening, this project is already in the cost band one of the fiscal constraint plan. So I'm not going to include this project in this amendment. So for the City of Savannah, Montgomery Crossroad Bridge and as Casey Canal, it will be included in the vision plan, and Skidway Road widening will be included. Thunderbolt, no eligible project. Tybee Island, no eligible project. And Vernonburg, no eligible project. And Chatham County, we decided actually at this morning's ADFAC meeting, the Quaker Road bridge replacement over I-95 and Little Neck Road bridge replacement over I-95, another duplicate as the project already in the vision plan, which is the Quaker Road, Little Neck Road interchange at I-95. Study. So we're going to include these two projects. And John Carter Road improvements and Quaker Road widening, Truman Parkway improvements, Islands Expressway improvements, we're going to get some information from Chatham County or coordinated with Pam so that we can decide what exactly is going to happen. Because Quaker Road widening right now, Chatham County is already doing the widening project, so this might not be needed to be included in the vision plan. So we're just going to sort out these projects and get more project information. For the TSBLOST, Effingham County and Bryan County also passed the TSBLOST. I did contact the both counties. Effingham County's TSBLOST projects are not located within the corn peel planning area boundary, and they're not going to pursue federal dollars, so they don't want to include their project in the vision plan. For Bryan County projects, Scott, I did talk to Scott, the Bryan County TSBLOST projects, even if some of them are located within the Corn PO's planning boundary, they are not going to pursue federal dollars in the future. So we're not going to pursue those projects in this amendment. And as I said, indicated, this report is still a draft. It's still in the draft format and subject to change. And we're still in the 15-day public comment period. So when we figure out the exact information, we will just update the report. So by the time that we present the report to the MPO board next week, it should be a final list with the detailed project information. Okay. The staff recommendation is for the TCC to endorse the proposed project list subject to the corrections that I just mentioned. What's the question, Leon?
Here's my deal about the list. I mean, we submitted a list and it's been compiled. And when you talk about a T-splash referendum, there would still be some changes to this list. This is not set in stone. First of all, if a referendum is pursued, the county and the all the jurisdictions have met and had discussions about a T-splash referendum and an E-splash referendum, and it'll probably be another 30 days before they come to a consensus as to whether they're actually going to pursue T-splash in the fall or not. I say all this because, I mean, these are the projects that you see that are in blue. I think that those should be shown, and if additional information is given, they can go to the vision plan. But the entire list of projects that you see, especially when it comes to resurfacing and, you know, the sidewalks and those kind of things.
This list.
Yes, I do not believe that, and even the ones you have up, if you're going to take the ones in black out up above and leave the ones in blue, I get that. It is my recommendation not to attach this spreadsheet that shows all of these projects and put those out as part of this report. The reason being is that, as we all know, as these things go out and they get pushed out and it starts to become public rhetoric and everybody sees this, it's really hard to change anything once that happens. You know, I gave this to the TCC and the Corps for information so that we could all start at least looking at projects, try to avoid duplication. And as Wakota just said, you know, there's some projects that were already in the vision plan. So, you know, we're not trying to duplicate that kind of stuff. But I am not comfortable with that spreadsheet that you see on the screen now going out until there have been some further discussions between the elected officials as to whether they're going to go forward.
So you'd recommend the final report we are going to present to the MPO board don't include this?
That it does not include that.
That does not include T-splash. Okay.
It only includes the projects that you have up above that you went ahead and put in blue. I mean, those are just vision plan additions. I don't see harm in that, but to promote and put that, and we're not promoting it, I get that, but I mean, you know what I mean, is to put that out there for public, you know, viewing, and then all of a sudden believe that this is going to be the list that's coming out and that there is going to be a T-splash. Yeah, we're not there yet. And so I don't want to set expectations out there that we're doing it and then us get feedback from elected officials when you have a great many of those who on your MPO core board that serve, you know, as well. So I think that it would be a bad idea to put that out to them as a report.
Hi, this is Melanie. I agree. I know I'm showing up talking as Sally Ham, but it's Melanie. I agree with that because I think that there needs to be a little bit more coordination to see where, based on the location of those projects, we can kind of leverage resources. I'm actually in agreement with you on that one, Leon. I think that we need to talk a little bit more about it. We don't know if we're going to have a T-splash, but while the elected officials are trying to make a decision about what they would like to do, I think that we need to have more discussion as a group to talk about what is being proposed or about that spreadsheet that you just showed.
When you say you actually agree with me, Melanie, it sounds like you never would. That's horrible.
I feel like I would never agree.
I'm just trying to protect.
I agree. I'm glad that you brought it up. I actually was going to mention that myself. So I think that definitely is on point because we do need to have more discussion about it now that people are starting to have this discussion about T-Splash and E-Splash, and you know, you've got those elected officials talking about it. We need to have more information before we put out this list.
Okay, in that case, do we actually
go ahead.
Do we even want to pursue the MTP vision plan amendments in April?
Yes.
Because it seems like the jurisdiction is not ready yet.
No. The project descriptions that you have received to date. Now, I would agree that when you look at some of the ones, look at the screen that you're on now. And if Gulfstream Road between Port Wentworth and Savannah, you know, that's a project that can provide additional information. I think that should go forward. The Montgomery Crossroads Bridge project was something that was in the plan a long time ago, and it sort of got dropped to the city of Savannah. There's a lot of reasons for it, but my point being is I think that projects like that and Skidaway Road widening for the city, that those need to be in the vision plan, because, I mean, where are we plucking things from whenever we're adding stuff to the fiscally constrained program? I mean, we're looking to the vision plan. I think these projects should be there. I'm just advocating that all that residual stuff come off, and you know,
don't include all these like black text.
Correct.
If the TCC agrees with this,
or the spreadsheet, or that spreadsheet, Wakoda.
Yeah. I can remove this spreadsheet from this final staff report before we present it to the MPO board. So, over here, I will just keep the like blue text with some corrections, especially if we have the project information like this old. Yeah, if we have the project information like South Street, so I would rather include that. So just include the project and then the project description.
And just remove any reference to T-Splost. Because you have it down here at the bottom where you're talking about Effingham County and Bryan County. You know, again, that let's get away from, I mean, we just can't say T-Splost yet because we don't know if it's going to happen or not.
Yeah, but the original request was based on the assumption that T-Splost will happen.
We want to be transparent, but we don't want to make promises that we can't keep. So could we call it something like a T-Splost wish list or something that would clarify that?
You know, I don't mind that. I mean, I'll leave that up to the group to decide, but obviously more y'all's world than it is mine. I'm just, you know, I'm just protecting the political element that you're going to probably get some unkind feedback from if we put a staff report out like that right now.
Well, we can always come back and do an amendment if they move forward with doing a T-Splash. I would rather at least move forward with the higher level things that was just mentioned. And if we need to basically tweak it once there's a additional conversation that's taken place between the jurisdictions, me, that makes for a more successful proposal, because we do need to talk with, to me, I think that would be good to find out what all of the parties are thinking with regards to the list that Leon referenced.
Well, everybody's good with the projects they're putting out there, Melanie. The real question, and I know that Ron's on the call now, he can probably say that I do want to talk about on this, is that there's some real concerns about E-Splash and T-Splash being on the same referendum. So
I know, and that's why I'm saying that, because I know there's some unrest. I just don't, I mean, do you call it a wish list with regards to putting it out there, or do you or call it tentative projects or something along that?
The only thing that I can say about that is my code is right. We already have it in the meeting minutes from the last agenda that we, from the last meeting that we talked about this, and we're putting this together, and we referenced T-Splash there. So, I mean, I think just totally removing any mention of T-Splash at this point might be a little late. And I mean, isn't that the reason we're doing this? So yes. I think we need to keep some reference in there just to, you know, for transparency, but we don't have to make it, you know, if the T-Splash doesn't happen, then, you know, then these projects, there's no promise that we're going to do any of these projects. It's just a vision.
So could we call it tentative T-Splash or something like that to at least.
This is Ron. Can I make a suggestion? why don't you say proposed sales tax funded projects? Because there's nothing said that in 4 years that these can't be in SPLOST. Yeah. Future sales tax funded projects, if you want to get rid of the word T-SPLOST, because then they could easily be transferred to the next referendum for SPLOST if T-SPLOST never went forward. That's just my two cents.
Well, I don't know that we have to decide this right now. If everybody can just provide some comments. The question is, how do we move forward with the motion on this at this point in time? Let me ask just one question. Leon, you said you really wanted this in this time. Is there's a reason why we need this in today? Leon? Ron, is there Mark, anybody, is there some particular reason this can't be tabled till next time?
I thought we had committed to generating the list is what our game plan was. I don't remember exactly what we had committed to do at the last meeting, but I thought we had committed to generating this list, and then not generating a list could get a question from the politicians about, I thought you guys were generating a list. Well, we did generate a list, but we didn't disseminate it.
Okay, well Leon's been muted.
Yeah, sorry. That's typically a good thing to do, but let me get this off my chest. The only thing that I'm really saying about this at all is that I don't want it, you know, Ron's right. This could go both ways really the other day. You know, we wanted a list. Well, you've got a list together and you can disseminate that list out as a list of projects, if you want to. I'm trying to avoid and not have pushed out is I don't want the politicians and elected officials to feel like, well, okay, now they're pushing us into the process of doing a T-SPLOST. Now, that's not to say it's got to be this fall. It could be any fall. It could be any election cycle when it comes to T-SPLOST. But I'm just trying to look at it from their point of view, guys. I don't want them to feel like that their hands being called when it comes to T-SPLOST and that the MPO or TCC staff is you know, pushing this, right? I mean, all I really cared about with this is to get some projects into the vision plan. Now, does it have to happen today? No, it doesn't happen to happen today because where we are in the process, we're not going to have a call for projects again, but that's what we're trying to do is go ahead and get some projects in the vision plan so they'll be there for when that call comes along, which, as we know, will occur whenever GDOT wants to update the STIP. So, you know, it's totally y'all's call with regards to if we do it today or not, but I'm just really hesitant about the T-SPLOST thing and the first blush that the public would get if we put it out like this.
It, besides when it's outlining Effingham and Brian, is T-SPLOST even mentioned anywhere else in this document?
Yes, because the original request
that
came.
That was the request, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because of T-SPLOST, yes.
I got you. Okay. All right. Sorry, I missed that. But I did want to add one clarification. Maybe it was I didn't explain it properly, Lakota, when you called. But our language needs to mirror the Effingham language as well. None of our current projects are actually located within the core MPO boundaries. So ours needs to mirror. They're outside of what were the city limits at the time the core MPO boundary was established based on the 2010 census. That may change on the 2020 census when we reapportion, but the two main projects that we have that are eating up our funding are actually outside the boundaries.
Yeah.
So if the detail that's provided regarding Effingham and Brian muddies it up any, it may be unnecessary, considering there are no projects to add to the vision plan amendments. It's just a suggestion if it makes things a little bit easier when you're trying to navigate how to revise this document.
Yeah, the reason I added Effingham and Brent kind of was because you already passed the TSPLOST. So instead of just doing one amendment after another, like at one meeting after another, we decided to just do it all at once. So that's why they're included here.
And that's fine. My only suggestion would be to have ours near Effingham's.
Okay.
What if we do this? What if we just include some discussion, some mention of the TSPLOST in the narrative at the beginning and take, you know, any titles off of the listing of projects and just, you know, those are just really just vision projects. So we could just say that there was, you know, because of the upcoming potential for a TSPLOST, that the various communities were looking at potential future projects and that that's where this vision plan came up with and that we're adding, that's why we're adding these. But, you know, that it, you know, not necessarily tying it to, but just using it in, as an explanation of how the discussion came about. Does that make sense to anybody?
So
I've got a question to ask, and that is, I thought that, you know, Ron's comment with regards to having it be a little bit general from the standpoint of, you know, basically possibilities or proposals of or projects that could be funded under either funding also gives us some coverage as well. I don't know what your thoughts are about that, but I thought that was actually a interesting thought to have that language attached to it, because then it just shows them that these are a list of projects that everybody needs and they could be funded under either SPLOST or TSPLOST.
Yeah, I'm fine with that if you're fine with that.
I'm fine with that. I'd say that the group can make a decision from the standpoint of voting, but I thought that was actually an interesting and probably a good way to handle it, because it puts everybody on notice that knows to know that these are projects that really need to be done, and they could be done under either funding mechanism, whether it's a TSPLOST or a SPLOST, and it would be as part of our records or documents.
Okay. Is anyone from GDOT on the line that would like to? Are you guys good with that? Anne-Marie, are you still there? Okay. All right. Well, we'll just go with that. We need to move on. We're spending too much time on this. So, I think that makes sense, and I think we're kind of all on the same page. So. At this time, I will would request a motion to endorse the amendments to the vision plan as discussed, taking out the table with the money and taking out the specific reference to SPLOST and be a little bit more vague in the reference to sales tax projects for the vision plan. I guess that's kind of long-winded, but and anyway, right, can I have a motion for endorsement?
So move.
And a second?
Second.
Do we know, do you know who made that initial motion, please?
I did. This is Melanie. Yeah.
Oh, Melanie. Okay. Thank you. And was it Leon that we got the second from?
I'll let Ron.
Was that Ron? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. So I'll revise the report.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Wakota. So are there any no votes to the motion to endorse the vision plan updates amendments? Okay. No, in that case, the motion passes and the amendments are endorsed for approval by the board. All right, let's move on to 5, which is the regional transit safety performance targets. Is that going to be Asia?
It's Alicia.
Alicia.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, can you see my presentation?
We can.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm presenting on the 2021 Regional Transit Safety Performance Targets and to provide a little bit of some background. The FTA established the Transit Safety Performance Measures and ruled that certain transit agencies and MPOs must set transit safety performance targets for the performance measures that the FTA set. The agencies and MPOs that have to follow this requirement are those recipients or sub-recipients of FTA grant funds. Transit agencies are required to set their safety performance targets in their public transportation agency safety plan. And once they set those targets, they share them with the MPOs, and the MPOs receive those targets and then have 180 days to set regional transit safety performance targets. And to give you a little bit further of an understanding of this topic and the difference between a performance measure and performance target, I'm going to break this down. The safety performance measures, they are set by FTA. They are quantifiable indicator used to measure a performance or condition, and a safety performance target is set by transit agencies and MPOs, and they are quantifiable levels of performance or conditions to be achieved. So in essence, safety performance measures help transit agencies and MPOs assess progress towards meeting safety performance targets. So we'll review FTA's transit safety performance measures. There are four of them, including fatalities, serious injuries, safety events, and system reliability. Addressing the FTA's four safety measures requires transit agencies and MPOs to set seven performance targets by mode. The first three performance measures shown on this table are represented as a total number and a rate per total vehicle miles traveled. And then the last performance measure, system reliability, is shown as a mean distance between mechanical failures by mode. So for the target setting process, this is the first time that transit agencies and MPOs are going through this process to set transit safety performance targets. CAT is the only transit agency in the Savannah metropolitan planning area that follows under the FTA requirements for setting these performance targets. And CAT developed their a safety plan and set their targets and shared those with the core MPO back in January 2021. And the core MPO has until July 3rd, 2021 to set the regional transit safety performance targets. Here on this table is the transit safety performance targets set by CAT. As you can see, there's four measures being addressed by seven targets. Here's a visual representation of the target setting timeline for the Savannah metropolitan planning area. And once the core MPO adopts the regional targets, we will then have until January 20th, 2021 to incorporate the regional targets in the TIP and MTP. Setting the transit safety performance targets for the planning area was coordinated with CAT and GDOT. And since CAT is the only transit provider in the Savannah metropolitan planning area required to set these targets and to ensure a common goal and consistency between the two organizations, the MPO staff recommends using CAT's transit safety performance targets as the regional targets. In terms of updates to these performance targets and the system performance report, transit providers are required to update their transit safety performance targets annually. However, MPOs are not required to set new targets annually, and currently the core MPO updates the system performance report when new performance targets are adopted. And so today the Court of PO staff is requesting the advisory committees to endorse the proposed regional transit safety performance targets for the Savannah planning area. And that is all I have.
Thank you, Alicia. Does anyone have any questions or comments for Alicia? Do we have anyone from CAT that's on online now?
Yep, that's me.
Okay, did all that make sense? Do you have any questions or concerns about that?
No, that sounds great. Thank you.
Okay. All right, wonderful. Thank you. Then at this time, I will request a motion to endorse the proposed amendments.
I'll make that motion.
To endorsement of the proposed 2021 regional transit safety performance targets. Now, I did have one question about that. I'm sorry, let me just go back one second. That includes a resolution, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Okay. Because that has to be handled a little differently, does it not? Mark, are you there? I guess it needs to go to the board either way. Yeah. I just didn't know if there was any specific mention of the resolution that needed to be made.
No, the resolution would just reflect the board action. I'm sorry, okay. If I'm not following your question exactly.
No, but, that's all. Okay.
Give me a second to unmute there.
Yeah, no, it just seemed like I remember from before that the resolution had to be handled a little bit differently, or that it had to be specifically mentioned. I'm trying to, maybe I'm confused, but that's okay. It goes to the board in any event. So, that's fine. Thank you. All right. So we went back, we already got a motion to approve. Is that right? Or to endorse?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, then I will second that. And at this time, we will assume everyone is in agreement unless we have any no votes. Are there any no votes? All right, okay, the motion passes. And the regional transit safety performance targets are in the board action. Okay, moving on to 6, which is the TIP amendment. Alicia.
Yep, that'll be me again. Can everybody still see my screen with the staff report?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, so I'm presenting the TIP amendment updates for the fiscal year 2021-2024 TIP. The MPO's short-range planning program, known as a TIP, can be modified to ensure that updates to projects and estimates and schedules are incorporated. The Core MPO has received updates from GDOT along with new funding and programming information back in January and February. And so this staff report covers those proposed updates to the 2021-2024 TIP. There are updates to the existing highway and transit fund revenue projections, along with additional funds being added. And there are 3 proposed highway project updates and 3 proposed transit project updates. And of the first highway updates is Chevis Road and Pruvit Project. Chatham County was awarded some lapsing TAP funds and Z301 revenues. So the cost estimate for the PE phase has been updated to reflect the changes in funding. And the second one is a new feasibility study of the Savannah River Crossing. GDOT added a scoping phase for this new study to help identify strategies for bridge improvements. And we would get more information about that to include it. And it is funded, 100% funded locally. There's also lump sum. 2 lump sum categories were added, and those are freight operations and rural development. And 1 lump sum category was removed, and that was construction management. And then for the transit updates, the first one is the section 5339 for capital and operation funds. This is a new fund of programming, currently not in the TIP, and will be programmed in fiscal year 2021. The second transit update is the Z950 FHWA ferry boat funds. Updates include to funding in fiscal year 2021 and fiscal year 2022. GDOT request funds from previous years from FHWA and FTA all at once, which results in all the funds being programmed in fiscal year 2021. And the third update for transit is section 5311. GDOT provided us with updated cost estimates for the fiscal year 2022 and 2024. And included in the staff report includes the updated TIP projects and TIP pages and tables. And so today the staff is asking the committee to endorse the proposed updates to the fiscal 2021-2024
TIP. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions or comments on the TIP amendments?
I saw that Brent just jumped off to another meeting. So, yeah. Brent, are you still here? Okay. I think FTA released some new funding information for one of the programs. So there might be very minor changes. So Alicia probably needs to coordinate with Brent, because I was trying to ask Brent at this meeting, but she just jumped off. So coordinate with her to if there are any changes to those numbers, probably 2023 or 2024 numbers. So.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay. At this time, I will request a motion for endorsement of the proposed fiscal year 2021 to 2024 Transportation Improvement Program.
So moved. Melanie.
Thank you. And a second?
Second, Ron Feldner.
Thank you, Ron. All right, I want to try something a little different this time, if we could, just to make sure we still got people paying asleep and paying attention. Can we get everybody to put in the chat whether they or want to approve this with an I or a nay, please? Just type in your name, say yes or no, kind of like that. Wonderful. That works. Thank you very much. All right, I don't see any no's. I'll give everybody another minute. Okay, motion passes. Thank you very much. Moving on to other business. I think the first item is the update on the projects program with the Z230 and 301 and the HIP funds. Is that gonna be you, Waikato? Maybe not. Hello? Did I lose everybody?
Can I share my screen, Judy? Okay. Share my screen. Okay. During our call for project, we did mention that we would request that the project sponsors who get the awarded funds will present their project status at the TCC meeting. at the certification review, I think that is one of the recommendations as well, that we need to track where those awarded funds are going, what their status are. So I'm just listing all these projects over here, especially for those projects with funds programmed in fiscal 2021. You know, the fiscal 2021 ends on June 30th of this year. So we really need to make sure the funds are authorized. So for later years, we might be able to wait a little bit, but for the 2021 projects, we do need to have a project status report. So now we just want each project sponsor to just give us a status report of whether your project can make it. I mean, whether those funds can be authorized by June 30th of this year. So let's just go. I'm listing all of these over here. So just to go one jurisdiction after another. So okay. Chavers Road Improvement Project.
So I'll address both Chavis and Garrard. They're kind of in the same boat. And I just got the PI numbers from NED this morning. So it has been programmed by GDOT. So we will move forward with obtaining a consultant. And then we'll coordinate with GDOT for the PFA.
Yeah, so PFA is the only thing that is required for funding authorization in 2021, right? Because you have only
Yes.
Okay.
And we have to get a consultant. So we should be able to get that out pretty quick. The next one is the I-16 at Jimmy DeLoach Interchange. And that one, we have an RFP, request for proposals, out now. And the proposals are due April 27th. And the PFA was approved by the board at April 16th meeting, I believe. And we're trying to get all the signatures and get that sent back to GDOT now.
So we should have no problem. We have the funds authorized by June 30th for the
Correct.
Three. Okay.
I-16 Jimmy Loach, I have no concerns for. The Chavis and Garrard are going to be tight. We've got to get that PFA done between now and when is the deadline? The end of June?
June 30th, so yes.
Hopefully we can get that done. Old River Road, we really haven't done a whole lot, but that's not until next year. So.
Yeah, that's in 2022 and 2023. Okay.
Okay.
What about the City of Savannah? The Lesseps Avenue, we allocated some lapsing TAP funds because this project has already been, the funds have been authorized already. So you just basically, you do, I think, 1625 form. Was that right? So what is the status on that?
I'm going to look to Leon. Is he still here?
No, I think he left.
So I know that the bids were opened Tuesday and that they are being reviewed.
No, we're not talking about the bids. We're talking about the funds that were the lapsing TAP funds. Because those funds were going.
What were the funds going for? Construction?
Yeah, because I mean,
well, I think what they need to do is get that awarded, then, and that would
that should take care of it.
Okay, so
and you'll have to forgive me, Wycoda. I'm Barry is out of the office today, and that is his project, so I'm at a bit of a loss.
Leon joined by phone and he's in listen only mode.
Is there anyone from GDOT that can tell us exactly what needs to happen with those funds or in the process in order for those funds to be secured, I guess?
Is Ned still there? Ned?
Yeah, well, while we're waiting to see if we can get anybody from GDOT, Wycoda was kind of trying to put together some sort of status report that might, help with this. And GDOT has a lot of different, they have like a pre-construction status report. So we could kind of maybe borrow from them a little bit and create something simple to, for some of the milestones here. And again, and also help answer these questions, like exactly what is required in order to ensure that we're, you know, what milestones need to take place in order to ensure that we're not jeopardizing these funds. That maybe we can get some assistance from them in coming up with a status report that.
Pamela, can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, yes. Is it Leon?
Yes. Okay, let me back up. I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to get back in. The lessons part, yes, those funds were already authorized last year. We've already got our PFA. That part's moving forward, so that project will be good. The project that, and then the DREN funds that were set up, just to let you guys know, we're still waiting on Office of Planning, but we've been told that those monies will probably be shifted to FY22 because of COVID. The project that I'm having a great deal of problem with, I have reached out to the pre-construction office. I have talked to the planning, the PMs, everybody I could, is the TCC funds that were programmed for the city of Savannah. There's no PI number that has been assigned to date on that. It's a very obscure deal because it's not a road project. It's technology. And I've gotten nowhere as far as how we're supposed to, who I'm supposed to talk with, who I'm supposed to work with. I'm really sort of at a standstill. So we're ready to utilize the funds and do what we have to do, but I can't get any headway as to how we're supposed to deal with the funding. I need help from GDOT. I don't know what else to say.
Do we have anyone from GDOT planning on the phone or in the meeting?
Hey, this is Ned. I'm sorry, my internet connection is kind of going in and out, but I have a PI number for that TCC project, so I can look into that and see what the next steps are for that. So I'll get back to you on that. But I have the PI number for that. So.
Well, I'd appreciate anything you push to us. If you can get it, if we can get it started, then I can give you a status. Why could I can't give you a status yet?
Okay, Ned, are we able to get the funds authorized by June 30th?
I believe so. Yeah, I'll get you PI number for that project as well as the CAT project. So I have all those PI numbers for you guys. So I'll send it to you, and then I'll check and see what the next steps are for that.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to the next one. The project drain. If you really cannot make the 2021, we probably need to make amendments. So let us know as soon as possible.
Well, that's a catch-22 because what I've been told from GDOT planning is that the local MPO needs to go ahead and show the funds being moved so that they can follow suit. But you guys are saying you can't do that until the GDOT has moved the funds.
Yes, that's what they told us before.
I'm sorry, we're going to have to probably get on a call with planning individually and talk about that because they're telling me opposite what go to. They're telling me that you guys need to move the funds. Go ahead and show them, and then DOT would follow suit as far as moving those funds to FY22.
Yeah, we've been directed that we can't roll funds from one year to the other. So we just, I guess we just need to get somebody with GDOT planning to provide that direction to the MPO staff.
Yeah, because previously what they directed us for the DLSEPs is like, the local project sponsor has to send a request letter to the GDOT planning director, and then they agreed, and then the MPO can move on from that point.
Leon, can
right
you
now,
tell us who you talked to?
We just haven't got that yet for this project.
I'm sorry, Melanie. There was a letter already submitted to planning from the city manager making the request for the funding shift.
I guess I'm just asking if it's possible for us just to get some quick resolution to send an email so everybody's copied on and hearing the same thing, because you're being told one thing, we're being told something different. So at least if we've got it in writing, hopefully they'll send an email that gives everybody the same answer so we can move forward with this.
Okay, then let's do this, Melanie. I will send an email. I'll copy city staff and you guys and go back to Radney with planning and ask them to confirm that that's the way that we need to roll with that, because I'm pretty certain that that's going to be the deal. And I'm sorry for the confusion, but I know that they're amenable to letting funds move over, and it's a unique circumstance just because of COVID and what happened with PHOH situation with Federal Highway. So this is not going to be a standard practice. I want to go ahead and put that out there.
Right. So if we could just get that an email and get a response back from Radney, then I think that it makes everybody's life easier, because we would at least have one voice and one response.
Understood.
Yeah, if we can move the fiscal 2021 funds to 2022 with the project, and we can process the amendments in June. So I'm not too worried about that one, if that can be achievable. The other one, the Chumalini Park Trail Phase 2B, I think my understanding is that the GDOT just added a right-of-way phase. We probably need to, go back to Alicia's TIP amendment report, we probably need to add that project phase, the right-of-way phase, into fiscal year 2022.
They did add a right-of-way phase because of a couple of easements that are required, but there's no federal dollars on that. It's all locally funded. It's a very small amount.
So we don't have to worry about it.
Correct.
That's what you're saying. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So we don't have to do the TIP amendment. Okay. If that is the case, that's fine. Chatham Air Transit, Brian has already left, but she did send in this project status report. So what has been flexed, spent? So it's attached to the staff report. It's attached to the agenda. So since she's already left, so I'll just refer to this report. So if anybody has any questions, just review this report. And they have questions, just email her and copy the MPC, MPO. And Natibi Island, the two projects, the Bull River and the Lasrata Creek, we actually have HIP funds, because HIP funds needs to be obligated very soon as well. So I don't think anybody from Taipei is here, but GDOT, can you provide some information on that? Maybe Katie? What is the progress on these two projects?
Sorry, I'm looking.
Yeah, actually, they are the HIP funds are programmed in 2022 and 2023, but we still need to make sure they are on target to be authorized.
I don't even see them on my report that Troy gave me. I'll have to check into it for you.
Okay, I think those are the US 80 project. Hold on. Let's see. They say. Okay, environmental. It's number 3 and number 4. Environmental studies and preliminary designs are ongoing, but I just want to make sure that we can get the funds authorized in that year, because HIP funds are lapsing too.
Okay, I wrote a note, but I don't have that on my spreadsheet.
Okay, yeah, would you please just double check and let us know?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So Pam, you want us to use the GDOT template over here as the template to design something so that the project sponsor can report at the next meeting?
Let's leave that open. If anybody else has any recommendations, if anybody's got any status reports that are templates that they can help us work this out, that'd be great. I'll send you what I got from Christy Levitt off the GDOT website, actually, as far as a pre-construction status report. It's a little bit different from the status report they provide.
Okay.
And we'll figure something out.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, if you can send me that template and I can just add this project in, so every project sponsor can just fit in their information. So that would be easier for our next meeting. Okay, that's it for this.
Okay, thank you. The on-call projects discussion.
Yes, the call for projects is just, I think that the reason that we want to have a discussion on this is based on this is how we allocate the funds. So as you can see, the 301 funds, we basically, hold on. So we are actually balanced out for all these years. So this is okay. The HIP funds, we have a balance of $686,000. I think when we developed the TIP and we decided that we probably want to reserve these funds for the US-80 Bull River and La Stato Creek Bridge, because we don't think this right way might be enough. So we'll just keep that as well. But the Z230, we do have a big balance. In fiscal 2023, we have a balance about $3 million. And in fiscal 2024, we have a balance of $6 million. And then the COVID-19 relief funds, even if I haven't received official letter from GDOT, but I think I saw that Mark forwarded some information, we might be getting $2.1 million. And that, I think those funds will be, the deadline for obligation was like September 2024. So we do need to conduct another call for project to allocate all these funds. So just I think I'm just trying to get some information or get some input from TCC on the timing of that call. The last call for project we did was last year, and then we did the evaluation, and then the result actually we did some TIP amendments and the TIP development based on the recommendation. But right now we still need to allocate that funds plus $2.1 million.
My question be?
I was just going to say, this is Melanie, because I got the same email, that the projects that would be eligible under that surface transportation is going to be in Section 23B. So it's they're going to send more information with regards to what is eligible, and we will share that information with you all, because we just got that information and there were some attachments that were not attached to that. So I did look at that a little bit more, because there's a variety of projects that could be funded under that, as well as studies.
Do we want to, I think what we're trying to get input from the TCC is like about the timing.
Right, we've got a little bit of time. We just got this email today, so we'll send information out, and if possible, maybe talk to, maybe have it as an agenda item, or have send it out and let people send stuff back in with regards to their thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a
fairly long process, so my thought would be to start the process, sooner rather than later.
I agree with you. I'm just trying to get the information from the feds with regards to how the funds could be spent. I was told one thing, and then I was told something different today, because I kind of have been inquiring about it. So I do think that we need to send that information out to you all and have everybody give some thought to things that could be eligible for that funding.
Leon, were you trying to say something?
Yeah, it was sort of on your line, Pamela. I just, because of the time that it takes, I don't know what the expiration sounds like. You've got varied expiration times on all this stuff. So if you've got to wait to get clarification on the CARES Act funds, then what's the timeline or the fiscal year, stagnation of the funds that that you need to allocate now, and you know what their uses are for?
I was told 2024, Leon, and that's why I said that, once we get additional information, we will immediately send it out to you. But that was a question that I had for the folks at GDOT.
No, I was asking everything but the CARES Act funds. I understand the 24 days, maybe. Okay. What about the other stuff? What are the fiscal year die-outs on those funds?
I think those funds. Yeah, I think those funds are just like the HEAP funds. They are immediately available for obligation, but it just that deadline for the obligation is September 2024. That's how I read it.
So on everything you're talking about, it's all 24. The CARES funds, the extra 230 funds, HIP funds, whatever you've got.
The CARES funds can be obligated immediately. If we can program in 2022 or 2021, if we can spend them, they are available for obligation immediately. It's just the deadline for obligation is September
2024. I guess I'm asking.
Was there two different pots of money we were talking about? It was the what we're looking at on the screen, that's Z230, is that correct?
Yeah,
Z230. The new email that you got, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when did those lapse?
We just need to make sure that we have projects programmed in 2023 and 2024. Those will lapse after 2023, after 2024.
Understood. Does that answer your question, Leon?
Lost him again.
Well, okay. All right.
Okay, I think since Melanie received the email today, so we'll be just review the email, review the information, and then communicate back to you so that we can probably decide when we're going to conduct another call for project.
Okay, that sounds good. Waikota, I did want to mention, and I know I need to send you something when we get ready, but I haven't done anything about this yet because with Chavis and Garrard, at least one of them, I'm trying to remember which one it is. I believe it's Garrard. I had a note somewhere, which I seem to have lost. One of those projects, we've got right of way, like for next year. And with the federal process, the PDP, it's probably going to be impossible to get to right of way within a year. So we'll probably end up having to try to move some money in one of those projects. Then maybe it's Chavis.
Chavis is in 2022. Yes, right away is in 2022. Yeah.
That's right away. Yeah, that's honestly, given that we're just getting started with, we just got it programmed and got the PI number and it's going to start PE. We're probably not going to make 2022, but once we get with GDOT and they'll create a schedule for us, and we'll be able to tell you better, more specifically, exactly how the timeline's going to fall out.
Okay. Yeah. When you get that information, because it's in later years, it's not in 2021, so we still have time to process amendments.
Okay. Thank you. Does anyone else have any more comments on this?
Okay, that's it.
All right, let's move on to the freight plan update. Thank you.
The freight plan update, our last freight plan was completed in 2016. And then during the certification review, one of the recommendations is that we update our freight plan because we are freight heavy area. So what we are trying to do now is just that this is like a pre-scoping discussion. So we want to know what we want to do, what we want to achieve in the next freight plan update. For the last freight plan, we actually included a lot of analysis, future conditions, performance measures, bottlenecks, safety, security issues, freight and land use analysis, economic development, market assessment, and environmental community scan. And then we have three sets of recommendations, the policy recommendations, freight land use recommendations, freight infrastructure recommendations. So this is what we covered in the last freight plan update. They didn't cover, actually, I think, let me just go to that one. what I want to achieve is like to convert the freight volumes, the tonnage, to number of trips for rail cars and for highway traffic. And then they also didn't cover the truck parking inventory and truck restrictions, and then also the impact from emergencies like COVID-19. So that's from the last plan. For our next plan update, it will be divided into two different portions. One portion will be achieved in-house by staff. So we will map out the truck restrictions per direction from the ad hoc committee. And then staff will also create a report card to evaluate the freight plan implementation, focusing on the highway infrastructure improvements. And then we will also evaluate if we do a freight plan update using consultant, what data needs that we will have. So we will do all that before the end of September. And if we use the consultant, and then we will probably use the PL, we would apply for the PL discretionary funds. So we will start the application probably in September, and then have the RFP and the secure consultant by that time. And then so when the free plan update starts, they probably will be next year, 1 year from now, and then it probably will 1 year process. So the data needs, we might evaluate the like freight data, what is available in the freight data, FHWA, and the federal level, NPMRDS, Bureau of Transportation Statistics Census, et cetera. And then also consider data purchase, maybe TransSearch or truck data or GPS data. So we will do some evaluation on that. And then the scope, so this is a pre-scoping. So we want to know what specifically we want out of this plan. Besides what validating and reevaluate the contents from the last freight plan, we also want to coordinate with the GDOT statewide freight plan development efforts, because we know as freight plan is actually a required document for the DOT, even if it's not required for MPO. But we know that GDOT is conducting a freight plan. So we want to coordinate with GDOT so that we can dovetail with each other. And then we will also coordinate with the ongoing studies for the freight corridors. Currently we have 307 corridor study and State Route 21 access management study. And we also want to make sure that we incorporate the studies recommendations from the completed studies, for example, I-95 at Airways Avenue study and I-16 at Jim DeLoach interchange study. And then, as I mentioned, that the staff portion, we will evaluate the incorporate truck restrictions. We're developing that map, and then this freight plan should consider that in its final recommendations or development strategies. And also, I mentioned the last freight plan doesn't have a truck parking inventory. So we do want to have a truck parking inventory in this new plan. And also evaluate the freight impacts from emergencies such as COVID-19. So basically, this is what we have. Just some thoughts. So at this meeting and the June meeting and August meeting, we'll probably have to delve into more on this so that we can develop the detailed scope, and then we will find out like how much money we will need if we secure a consultant, and then we will decide on the local match on this. So just present it to you over here for information. So we'll solicit your input at this meeting and in June meeting and August meeting. And if you have any questions, just email that to me. Okay, any discussions?
Okay, thank you, Ica. Do you want to just move right into the trucks restrictions mapping? And if I know we're kind of running over on time little bit. So
yeah, I would just to show you the map. The Economic Development Freight Advisory Committee wants the MPO staff to start to develop a truck restriction map, because some of the streets allow trucks, but while you cross this municipal boundary and the other municipality doesn't allow truck. So we started this process. I contacted many of the jurisdictions, so we got some information. So we were just mapping out most of the truck restrictions are on local streets, but most of the trucks are moving on functionally classified roadways, particularly interstates and the principal arterials and the freeways. So probably wouldn't impact the local streets that much. So at this morning's ADVAC committee meeting, I said, okay, in this map, the highlighted ones, you see these, the highlighted ones, those locations are where we currently identified has with truck restrictions, but I was focusing on, we were focusing on the functionally classified roadways, but the direction we got from the ADVAC committee meeting this morning is that we're going to revise this map. So we are going to map out three different, I think three different layers. The first one is just to highlight these roadways where with truck restrictions on the functionally classified roadways. So if they are collectors and above, and they restrict trucks, and we'll just highlight those. And the second part of that is for the weight limit, because some jurisdictions have a weight limit of 6,000 pounds, some jurisdictions have weight limit of 10,000 pounds. So the ADVAC wants us to identify those. And actually, thanks to Asia, who did some research of the ADVAC committee, already found out there was information that was available. The truck classification. What is 6,000 pounds? What is 10,000 pounds? So we got some information on that. So ADVAC committee directed us to like include that information over there. So even if it's a local street, it has a weight limit, so we need to identify. And the third layer of that is for the local streets, even if they are in local streets, the trucks probably won't travel over there, but because of the limitations, for example, the radius or the canopy, so the city of most of these local streets would be located in city of Savannah. So we will identify local streets with the truck restrictions. So after today, the staff will start to work on this and revising all these layers to reflect that information. So it's just we present this to the TCC because the TCC asked for this information at the last meeting. But if you are interested, we will just keep on updating you on the progress. And thanks to all those staff members, Scott, Pam, Michelle, Tybee, Peter, Trent, and the pooler who provided us the code, and Teresa from Effingham County also provided us the code. So thank you very much on that. That's it, Pam.
Thank you, Waikato. Does anyone have any questions or comments on that? Okay, let's just move on to the information reports then. Katie, do you want to go through the project report, please?
Sure. Do you want me to read the whole thing? I know you're running
short of time. Yes, ma'am. If you could just hit the highlights, that'd be fabulous.
Okay, so I think from last time, project number one, Ogeechee Road, what's new is that they're expected to request the concept meeting in June. Effingham Parkway, it's moved to 100% final plans, and they expect the let in May. The US 80 project, the preliminary plans have moved up to 90%. The Brampton Road number 5, the final plans have been submitted to CBA, and they expect a let May date there. Everything else looks about the same. Active construction projects are all about the same. We're still waiting for a notice to proceed for number 7, which has an anticipated completion date for fall 21.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Katie? All right, move on to county projects. Let me see if we got anything. So already covered, I think a little earlier, the I-16 and Jimmy Lodge Parkway interchange. We're signing the PFA, hopefully as we speak, sometime this week. Chevis and Garrard were just programmed. We got the PI numbers, so we'll be moving forward on that. Little Neck reconstruction, hopefully we'll start right away acquisition on that one soon. Other than that, kind of as written. So unless anybody has any questions, I'll just let you, we can move on with that. Is there any questions on any of the county projects? Okay. Leon, Michelle, I don't know who's gonna, we got anybody that wants to go over those?
If Leon's not going to jump in, I will. I think we talked about three of these during the last section. Delessa's bids were open, they're under review, and so we'll be moving forward there. The TCC, Ned is going to contact Leon with the PI number so we can get the project manager and get that equipment and technology moving forward for when we move later this summer. 516 and Durin environmental statement and record of decision have been submitted to Federal Highway. And for those of you, the city has brought in a consultant to work with the neighborhoods as we move forward. And some of y'all may remember Heather Fish, and she has come back to as a consultant to work on that. And then Truman Linear Trail, Barry put this in, forgive me, it's a sustainability office project, so I have to trust what he submitted as far as the environmental phase, and GDOT has added right-of-way phase.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. Does anyone have any questions about any of those projects? Okay, as I think, is Brandon hasn't come back, has she? So, I mean, do we have anybody to go over the CAT projects?
CAT just submitted this project, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's attached
to the agenda. Is that available?
Yes, attached to the agenda.
Okay, so everybody can look at that on their own if they want. Does anyone have any questions about those? Okay, we're just going to move on to public comments. Do we have anyone? It looks like there's one or two people on here from the public. Does anyone have any comments? Okay, all right. Then moving on to the notices, who wants to cover 15?
Oh,
you want me to read that? Okay, thank you.
No, just wanted to, just a reminder for everyone that we have just recently kicked off the State Route 307 corridor study and the State Route 21 access management studies. It's been about a year since we initially solicited project advisory committee members for those, so just wanted to make a final call. If anyone is interested in participating in those studies, just get in touch with me and I'll add you to the list. I'll move on to the next item, which is also mine. Notify everyone. You'll recall that we had a fairly detailed presentation in February from Anne Marie about the certification review findings. Just to let everybody know that we now have the written final report as of March 31st that is attached to your agenda and available on the MPC website. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. And the schedule of meetings is attached. So did anyone have any comments about the certification or the schedule? Okay.
Right. Okay, for this, are we talking about this thing?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, it's just we moved the cutoff date by a week, so that we can have enough time go through, because every time we do a agenda submittal, so the staff member submits agenda and gets different levels of approval. So mine is first level, Mark is second level, Melanie is the third level. So we need some more time to review the agenda items. So that's why we move the cutoff date ahead by 1 week, as you can see over here. This is the change from the calendar that we adopted last year.
Okay, thank you, Waikata. Understood. I think we should be able to work with that.
Okay.
All right. And the town talk poster.
That's me. For the Plan 2040 Comprehensive Plan update, we are trying to reach out to neighborhood organizations and churches to get more comments on some of the chapters and the drafts that we've published on the website. So if you're a neighborhood association or a faith-based community and you want to comment on some of what we've worked on, you can send an email to plan2040@thempc.org or make a call to 912-651-1480 to set up a meeting. And that's all.
Okay, thank you. All right. Next up is the next TCC meeting, which is going to be Thursday, June 17th at 2 p.m. Now, I see it says virtual on here. I know we talked a little bit at the special meeting about possibly coming in for this one, as an option. Is that still a possibility? Not sure yet.
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right.
The only thing that we ask for is notification for people to let us know so we know how many to come in, but we're good.
Right. I might come in.
There'll be, yeah, I mean, it's set up a little different now. The hearing room is complete, but plexiglass screens have been put up. The seats are, stationed a certain number of feet apart, and we would like to be notified if you're planning to come in for the meeting, just so that we can be prepared.
Okay, thank you. All right, if there's nothing else, then this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much. Appreciate you all being in attendance. Sorry we went long.
Thanks, Pam.